Agriculture, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Trending at 10:03 on the net, anytalks.net. I'm David Martinez. 47-year-old Sylvia Vesuvian of Hooksett has been arrested and charged with endangering the welfare of a child. Hooksett police officer was dispatched to the parking lot of Market Basket on Saturday afternoon when a report was received regarding a young child left unattended in the vehicle. Police reportedly found the 5-year-old boy shaking due to the cold. At the time, temperatures outside were in the teens with a wind chill below zero. The car in which the boy was sitting was not running. The child was rescued and secured in a warm place before police went into the store to search for Vesuvian. In speaking with Vesuvian, the police learned that the boy had been in the vehicle for over 25 minutes. According to Hooksett Police, the boy was released to the custody of family members. Following his arrest, Vesuvian was released on $2,000 personal recognizance bail, expected to appear in court and face charges on April 12th. That's what's trending on 102.9 HD2. Wear the net, anytalks.net.
The following is a paid program. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the host and the guests and are not necessarily those of WCCM or its sponsors.
Jeffrey Shank, the host of Talk Money, is an individual who contributes to a weekly radio program on 1110 WCCM AM. He offers information designed to educate listeners in general terms about financial, mortgage, and estate planning services. He is not offering advice which is meant to be specific to any one listener's circumstances.
Good morning, Jeff. And I want to thank you for your hard work. The information is a big help, and I appreciate what you did.
Enjoy the show.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, that's great to know. Thank you for the information.
You're very welcome.
Okay, Jeff.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
You're right on the money, there, Jeff. How are you doing this morning?
Thank you.
Well, those are good questions. Hopefully I help.
Yes, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
You're going to hear stuff here that you don't hear anywhere else on radio.
And don't forget it.
Good morning and welcome to the show. My name is Jeffrey Shank. I'm a financial planner, owner of Andover Advisory Group, a registered investment advisor, founded in 1996 on the belief that a plan is the best way for an individual to reach their financial goals. We're here on Talk Money on Mondays from 10 to 11 to talk about personal financial planning, give you some tips, and we want to hear from you, so you feel free to call the studio with your questions or comments. The number here, 978-687-8005. Or you can send us an email or send us a text message.
Yeah.
Telephone number for the text message, Lou, because I forget.
978-712-8005.
Good morning, Lou. How are you this morning?
Well, they can send you an email, too, right? Where do they send
They can send
email?
Me an email if they want to get in touch with me after the show, jeff@talkmoneyradio.com. Real easy, jeff@talkmoneyradio.com. So a lot of stuff to talk about today, Lou.
Yep.
A lot of activity last week.
Well, wait a second. This Trump effect thing, right? The economy going as well as it is. I seem to remember a time during the Obama administration where this storm, like, took everything down. Like, ruined the whole quarter. We got to worry about the storm coming up?
Well, actually, this storm that's heading our way, I guess, right? It's a nor'easter.
Stella.
Stella.
Yeah.
Oh, good. We'll have to put a name with a face.
Be on a first name basis.
Yes. Stella, if it does hit where they say it's going to hit, yeah, it's probably going to have an impact on economic activity. To what degree, I don't know. Obviously, it's going to be disruptive.
Uh-huh. Took us totally off the rails during the Obama administration.
There was one or two.
Yeah.
I think that was a series of storms, and, of course, they blamed some bad economic news on the weather.
Yeah.
Right?
So I'm a little worried.
I think that's what you're saying. You're a little worried.
I'm a little worried.
We have reason to be. a lot of stuff happened last week that I wanted to catch everybody up on, and I think the jobs report was released Friday morning.
Yes,
and the number was good. It was better than forecast.
Right,
stronger. Let's put it that way. Stronger than forecast. But the expectation for Friday's report was Well, there was an expectation that it was going to be stronger than what it was.
Okay.
Even though the forecast was lower, the ADP report, which comes out a couple of days before, was
good.
They were reporting or estimating 298,000 net new jobs in the economy.
Right.
And so when the report came out on Friday, it was 235, mm-hmm. which is a big difference.
Yep.
Big difference. And of course, the administration took credit for the results of the
235.
The 235. Yeah, for the 235. Yes, and everybody's giving them credit for that number, or at least the administration support.
Number.
Well, it wasn't bad, but what impact did the 1 month of the Trump administration really have on the jobs numbers for?
Yeah.
But the
235 number is the result of a survey. We've discussed this before, right?
No, it's a survey.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably call it a model. It's a combination of a lot of things, including direct contact with employers.
Right.
In terms of the payrolls.
Okay.
So there's two reports. The household survey, and then there's a survey of employers.
Right.
And so the jobs numbers come from that survey of employers. The unemployment number comes from the household data. And so they're surveying individuals in the latter case.
Right.
And so...
Do we know how ADP determines their number? I mean, they're just coming
ADP,
their payrolls, right?
Yeah, ADP has a model as well.
Mm-hmm.
And... ADP's model uses some of their data because they're in the payroll business.
Sure.
So they so they use their data, but they also have
brilliant on their part, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like having on the unemployment number. It's branding.
It's all branding. It makes a lot of
sense.
They're
like a signature sponsor of the unemployment number.
That's exactly right.
You can't get better publicity than that.
Yeah.
They're brilliant.
The unemployment rate mm-hmm. is based on that household survey, household data, they call it. And so I was looking at that number because...
But I'm wondering why ADP came up with 295,000 and the survey came up with 230,000.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure exactly what the reason was for that. But, mm-hmm. Again, that's a big difference.
Yeah.
Huge. So maybe they're right. I don't know who's right.
Right. I'm not laying claim that either is right. I'm just wondering why. What happened? What's the difference in the two methods that yielded a different result?
It's possible that they're right, ADP, I mean. It's possible that ADP is right because they are working with employers. They actually see the raw data come in.
Yeah.
So the other number that I thought was interesting was the participation rate.
Mm-hmm.
So the participation rate... increased. That is to say that the number of people who are in the percentage of the population that could be working increased to a 63%.
Okay.
Which is higher than it has been in some time.
Yeah.
And again, the administration took credit for, or people were giving credit to the administration for that increase.
That's the number we've been beating on through the Obama administration because that workforce participation rate has been at a generational low.
Which has a positive effect on the unemployment rate. Because if you have people that aren't working, that aren't counted as part of the employed or potentially employed population, then you have a favorable...
Right.
You have a favorable... number.
If you got less people looking for work, your unemployment numbers look better.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right. So
the question always is, why aren't these people looking for work? What are they living off of?
Well, they just could be retired. And there are...
Well, that's what we were told, but now with the workforce participation going up, I don't think less people are retiring. Right? We didn't have less retired people this past month than we had 3 months ago.
So let's look at the numbers.
Yeah.
So let's look at the numbers. And these are not raw numbers. These are the smooth numbers. Okay. The adjusted the seasonally adjusted numbers.
Yeah. Which means they're almost totally fictitious. I love this. This is all a big shell game, isn't it? This whole thing is a big shell game.
Well, let's look at the numbers first.
Yep.
Okay. And we can talk about the validity of those numbers. All right. So this is what it says here. Okay. The number of people employed increased in the month of February by 447,000.
Right.
That's a big number.
Yes.
Number of people employed increased by 447,000. That is 100,000 more.
Right.
Then the workforce grew by.
Right. Who are these people? What accounts for that difference?
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
Who are they? You want names?
Well, no. Well, there are 230,000 new jobs created, but 400,000 more
Steves
people.
And Marys in there, but that's. Yeah. But I'm not sure exactly how many.
But 400. There were 400,000 more people working, but 230,000 jobs created. So I don't know how that works.
The number of unemployed people. Well, see, that's the thing. So this is the household data, and that's a good point.
Yeah.
So this is the household data as compared to the employer survey.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So the number of people unemployed decreased by 107,000.
Was that your card?
Which accounts for?
Was that the card you picked? Seven of Hearts, right?
Seven of Hearts,
yeah.
I thought that was important because of the large number of people in that, you know, unemployed or unemployed status.
Right.
I mean, that's a big change in a single month, even if you adjust for seasonality.
So that was more people working. What was the number?
447,000 more people were employed than the prior month.
Were employed.
Than the prior month.
Okay.
Exactly. And the number of people who were unemployed, counted as unemployed, decreased by 107,000.
So counted as unemployed, which means they're looking for work, too. They have to be both unemployed and looking for work.
Correct.
The definition of unemployed is
part
out
of the workforce. They have to be part of the workforce.
Looking for work.
Yeah, or marginally attached, whatever. I mean, I'm not sure exactly how they define that, but they're part of the, they are considered, counted as part of the workforce.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
The labor pool. And so that's a big number. And going back to the ADP report, as you just said, 235,000 net new payrolls. Where did those people get jobs? If employers were only reporting 235,000, where did those people actually find jobs? If half of those jobs actually existed or were created, right?
Right.
So getting back to the ADP report, perhaps we're, you know, maybe they are right. And
they were closer to it, but
they were closer to it.
There's still a 100,000 job gap there too.
Yeah, potentially. But again, we're talking about a population,
a large nation.
You know, a labor force of 160 million people.
Right. And it's possible 100,000 of those jobs aren't being paid by ADP services.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the number of people not in the labor force, you know, able-bodied individuals who weren't counted as part of the labor force, that population decreased by 176,000.
Okay.
So those numbers seem consistent.
Yep.
With each other.
We've seen larger exit rates than that, but that's within a range, expected range.
Right.
Of people who are no longer looking for work, they're retired or whatever.
Right. And so that brought that participation rate up to 63%. And I heard over the weekend, listening to a couple of financial shows, that it went up 0.2%, but officially, according to these numbers, it's only 0.1%. It went from 62.9. So there must have been some sort of a revision that happened for the prior month, and that was reflected in this particular report. So it only went up by 0.1%. So this participation rate, and everybody was
so it went up 0.2%, but they took a tenth away for a revision for a previous.
Yeah, so they had. Yep. So it's funny because the headline in the news was not the 235 or the 450,000 people who suddenly, you know, found jobs, right? The headline was this
good number, by the way,
which is a pretty healthy number.
Yeah.
The headline was the participation rate hit 63%, and they were quoting an increase from 62.8 to 63, but they were wrong. It was really 62.9 because of revisions.
Right.
Right. So 0.1%. 0.1% increase.
Right, but it's better than a decrease, and we've been pounding that workforce.
It's a decrease, but it's just one. It's 1 month. It's one data point. It's not necessarily a trend. And I got to tell you, I don't know how you credit any policy that has been put into place in the last 2 months that would have any effect on that on that number.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not about policy. It's about what companies feel is going to happen going forward. You've been talking about it. This is all forward thinking by the companies, whether they're hiring people.
It's all forward thinking. There's no question about it. Yeah.
It's not based on a specific policy that's happened. It's based on what they think is going to happen in the economic environment in the next 6 months.
And so just in the last 2 months, by and large, companies have changed their hiring, plans.
Just
in the last 2 months.
You tell me.
I don't conduct the survey, so I don't know what.
You think this is carryover from the Obama administration?
No, I don't think it's. I just think it's a number. I think it's a data point. It's 1 month, and who knows?
Sure.
Who knows what that's really about?
Yeah, but that's what we do. A and B, you can only work with the data you have, so you got to try to figure out because you have to make decisions about going forward.
I guess my point is, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, right.
And you know, when this trends for 5 or 6 months, and we see this improvement consistently for several months, then yeah, we can say that. And
that's
would
fair enough.
And again, the there hasn't been a lot of changes,
actual policy
changes that would, you know, have an impact.
You wouldn't know it by the marches and the burning buildings and the broken windows, but it really hasn't actually been much in the way of policy.
I guess that further illustrates my point.
Yeah.
People, you know, they're going crazy here.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing's really happened just yet.
Yeah.
You know, there's been some executive orders and
there's been a 120-day stay of people coming from terrorist countries. I mean, if you want to get upset about that.
And I don't actually. That's potentially the ban, if you want to call it that.
No, I don't want to call it that because it's not a ban.
Okay, is actually hindering economic activity and hindering hiring because.
Right.
Because there's going to be some.
There are people outside of your building with torches and pitchforks.
That too.
Yeah.
That too. So, anyway, let's not jump to any conclusions. That's my takeaway from what happened last week, the jobs report, and some of the commentary that I heard over the weekend.
Will you allow us to take a deep breath because the ship isn't listening any more than it was a month ago, or 2 months ago, or 4 months ago? Is that at least valid?
Not listing as much? Why? Because we were able to get more. Not listing more.
Yeah.
Somehow we were able to
have we stabilized the
patient? Get some water out of the... I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know that we have, to tell you the truth.
So in other words,
what you're saying is
ignore these numbers.
I think maybe the water is just like the water in the it's just starting to, you know, stabilize a little bit, so it's not pushing it one way or the other. How's that?
So you're not particularly optimistic today either.
It's not so much optimism or pessimism. It's just I'm looking at these numbers and I'm hearing all the commentary and I'm saying, okay. So the other thing that we should talk about...
there hasn't been a city burned in the last 24 hours, so they got to talk about something.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Well, these are the financial shows that I'm listening, that I'm watching.
Yeah, they don't talk about it when cities burn. And
well, they do, but yeah. The focus and the concentration is on the dollars and cents. So, but what we should talk about is the Republicans' answer to the Affordable Care Act, dubbed the American Health Care Act.
Yeah.
And so the promise was that it was going to be the Affordable Care Act was going to be repealed. And then ultimately they said, well, we can't just repeal it. We have to do something else, right?
Yeah.
So they said repealed and replaced.
And then they looked out the window and saw the people with the pitchforks and torches.
And so the
chickens.
The administration apparently is pushing for some solution, some legislation that will do just that.
Right.
And so the Republicans have come up with the American Health Care Act, which is a repeal, supposedly, of the Affordable Care Act and a beginnings, anyway, of a replacement for it.
Right.
So here's the good news.
Yeah. Good.
The good news is, at least the version that I saw, 66 pages. As compared to the 3,000.
Yes, exactly.
So the reading is a lot easier. So I would encourage everyone to take a moment,
to take
a few minutes.
Like you did the original.
Like I did the original 3,000 pages, yeah. My summer reading project.
And Nancy wants us to read it, too, all of a sudden. So you should probably read it.
You should read it before we pass it. Is that right?
According to her now, she's learned her lesson.
She is. So... but here's the bad news. The bad news, this is not a repeal.
No. Not to the degree we had all
hoped.
In fact,
in the first paragraph, it says that it's an amendment to, not a repeal of. Yeah. Although, as part of the amendment, certain provisions of the Affordable Care Act are repealed.
Certain provisions that made the Affordable Care Act particularly egregious and unsustainable. The mandate, one.
Okay.
Repealed, right? Well, there's no longer a mandate.
Yeah, so I haven't looked at every point, but that is right. As it's being reported, the mandate is gone.
They want to allow selling of insurance over state lines?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Took that out? I thought that was a key part.
No, it's not in there. No, that's not in there. All again, according to reports.
Yeah, see, they did the backpedal on this, and I'm kind of disappointed at this point.
So, the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, had a PowerPoint presentation. And it was funny because I went to a charity function Friday night.
I want to like Paul Ryan. I really do. I want to like him. He seems like a nice guy.
So I went to a charity function Friday night. And my son-in-law was there, and we were chatting a little bit about it. And he's been a supporter of Donald Trump since the beginning of time.
Has he?
Yes. And so I said, did you happen to see Paul Ryan's presentation? He says, yes, I saw it live.
Oh.
What?
He watched it?
He watched it live.
Good Lord. Good for him.
Well, so it's really interesting.
Yeah.
Because suddenly there is this keen interest. And I think it's a good thing. It's a healthy thing. With these types of policies and, what is going to happen in Washington by younger individuals, apparently they care. They're concerned. Enough to take the time to actually watch the Speaker of the House talk about this amendment to the Affordable Care Act. You were going to say something. I could tell you had something to say. Did you lose it? That's okay.
No, I've got it. I still get it.
Okay.
The GOP is making the same fundamental mistake that they made for Obamacare, which is a comprehensive act. They shouldn't be thinking this in terms of one piece of legislation that's going to fix this. What they need to do is they took away the individual mandate, do that, start dismantling this legislation by legislation. You can't – whenever there's a it's like when you're driving around and you look at a restaurant and it says fine cuisine. You know, to stay the hell away from it, or family dining. Whenever I hear comprehensive in a bill, it's a piece of crap. You can't do anything comprehensively.
Certainly not.
Healthcare.
And you know, centralized in Washington, D.C.
Right.
So, but you make a good point that it really isn't solving the problem. And according to Paul Ryan, and this is his reasoning for the current construction of this particular piece of legislation,
mm-hmm.
is that Senate rules would not allow much more than what they put together. They can't get it passed. So he's, I don't want to be wonky. I don't want to get into weeds here. He says, but blah, blah, blah.
We don't
something
have
about
the
bird rule. I don't know. I'm not there. I don't know these rules. But he's saying that this thing will not, anything more than what we have here, maybe with some slight changes, is not going to pass the Senate. Therefore, and we want to get something done because we promised. We were voted into office on this assumption that we were going to repeal this, and this is the best we can do. So that's what he's saying. This is the best we can do.
Wait, do you find that less than credible?
If that's the case, then I don't know how we fix this. Because
you do what they did. You make it a reconciliation bill, so you only need 51 votes.
No, that is exactly what he's doing. He's saying that the only way that can be a reconciliation is, or get passed through reconciliation, is if it's all about the budget.
Right.
And so if these aren't,
but they didn't
seem to care
about that when they passed the bill.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how it all works. But here's the problem.
By the way, in terms of rules, Obamacare was upheld in the Supreme Court as a tax bill, right?
Yes.
Tax legislation can only be started.
Well,
the
mandate,
House of Representatives.
Specifically the mandate and the penalty.
Yeah.
Was upheld in the Supreme Court
as a tax,
which the
needed to originate federal, in the House of
Representatives. Federal government has complete authority.
Yes. But all tax legislation has to originate in the House of Representatives, where this bill didn't originate. It originated in the Senate.
Yeah, so
if you want to get technical.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden,
let's not.
Yeah.
So
And this was after 4 years of the government arguing it wasn't a tax, but that's another story.
It doesn't solve the fundamental problem.
Right.
So guys, think about this all weekend. And seriously, I was thinking about this all weekend. The fundamental problem here is that Washington, D.C., the federal government, is dictating the markets.
Right.
They're saying how this is all going to work. That will never, never, ever work.
Right.
And the only alternative, eventually, is for them just to take the whole thing over and Medicare for all. That's where this is headed if we don't stop it now.
Right.
And this bill that they've come up with is just solving pieces of this thing, but doesn't really solve the bigger problem. And there's no guarantee that anything else will get done beyond this. And I think that's the problem. And so I don't know what the chances are that this is actually going to pass. It may or may not. It will be disruptive if it does.
Sure.
I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but it will definitely be disruptive, and you have to be aware of that as an individual, as an investor.
It is a bad thing because disruption is a bad thing because it weakens the will of the legislators. Disruption weakens the will of the legislators.
That's the only thing that's going to fix this is if we have a major change.
I know, but no one has the guts to do it.
And so Tom Coburn, you know Tom Coburn,
mm-hmm.
he was on this morning, and he was talking about one of those fundamental problems, and that's price discovery.
Price discovery?
Yeah. How much does it cost for an MRI? Look.
Right. And no one knows. And it depends.
Do you know?
No.
Have you had an MRI?
Yes.
Did you look at the bill to figure out how much it cost?
That's not telling you how much it cost me.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Okay. So before you went in for the MRI, did you look at? Did you call three or four places and find out?
No. Of course not.
Yeah. That's one of the big problems that we have in the area of healthcare. We don't know. We're not shopping. We shop for everything. We shop for our iPhones.
Right.
We shop for everything, but when it comes to healthcare, we don't shop around. Why? Because we don't have any skin in the game. We don't have any stake. We don't. There's no penalty in most cases, especially if the government is providing insurance to people who, through subsidies and tax credits.
Right.
Which, by the way, there's going to be tax credits in this new bill for people, you know, under a certain income level.
Yep.
Right. And they're still going to mandate certain coverages. They're still going to mandate that you keep your kids on your plan until they're 26 years old. I don't know why we don't just keep them until they're 50.
Right.
But
we're all part of the same family.
Right.
Put the grandkids on there.
They're still going to mandate certain coverages. I didn't see anything in there that said that they're going to get rid of these, you know, first dollar benefits for people that you know are addicted to prescription drugs or whatever, and they go into rehab. They get 100% coverage, no deductible.
I'm trying to slow you down here because you're exactly right. The overall overarching point of this is the government got involved and turned an industry where you could get a doctor's visit in your home for a chicken.
Exactly.
Into a $4,000 blood test. Because that's what once the government gets involved, the market has been bastardized so much, it's hard to extract completely.
And so... What has to happen is we have to get back to a market-based delivery of health care. And insurance should be something that is designed as an insurance policy that guarantees against catastrophic events.
Right.
You know, I can pay if I can shop around for my doctor and shop around for a checkup and I could afford the price would be reasonable and I could afford to pay him $75.
Right. To get an X-ray, because listen, if you go in and get that MRI and you don't have insurance, the price is completely different from whether you have insurance.
Right. But if I need open heart surgery,
that's another story. But,
Right. Then I might need some help. An insurance policy could then come in.
Right.
And provide coverage and provide protection for me. We get back to those kinds of market-based solutions for delivery of health care, and then we would find affordable health care. And so I think the role of the government in this particular case could be a legislation that would say you have to publish your rates. It has to be accessible to the consumer. And then on top of that, create a Yelp for doctors.
I like it. Yeah, why not? Make it a competitive marketplace.
Rate your doctor. Seriously.
Yeah.
Competitive marketplace. And one more thing, Lou. How is it that the price of a product or service can increase or decrease? What are the forces at play?
Are you asking in a market or are you asking in healthcare?
In
a market, you can only raise your prices to the point where people can afford to pay them. You don't stay
willing,
in business.
Willing.
Yeah.
Willing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if you need an MRI, you need an MRI. If you can't afford it, you can't afford it.
Okay.
Well, for example, let's use...
What are the forces at play that determine price?
Amount of money, amount of demand, and amount of supply.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's how it works. So how do we reduce the... Because we're all talking about price, and somehow they put together laws that are supposed to affect the price and make it affordable, right?
Right.
What could we do to affect positively the price of health care?
Return to the market.
Increase supply.
Increase supply. Well, yeah. But wait a second.
Increase supply.
Is that really the problem? Because let's look at pharmaceuticals.
Or reduce demand.
Well, let's look at pharmaceuticals. Everyone asks why prescription A is...
I'm not an expert in this particular area, but I can tell you that it's supply and demand. Go ahead.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I'm just trying to illustrate the point here.
Sure.
Prescription X costs X amount in the United States. It costs X amount in Canada.
Right.
And everyone wonders why that is.
Well, I know why that is.
Because the government protects the price in the United States. Right?
No.
Because the market is disengaged.
No.
There is no market.
No. I do know a little bit about this.
Okay, fine.
The reason for the difference in price between Canada and the U.S. is specifically because there's a price control board in Canada.
Right.
And the price control board has the authority that if they don't like the price and that the pharmaceutical company won't sell for that price, that they will take your patent and give it to another manufacturer and have them produce it.
Nice. I like it.
So that's really what's the chief reason why prices are lower in Canada for the same drug.
So is it still not true that the United States allows companies to charge more in the United States?
Well, yeah. So
they
I don't know if they're protecting it, but the bottom line is they have to make it up somehow because they are potentially, I don't know if they're losing money, but it potentially losing money in other countries. Here in the United States, they don't have such barriers, therefore they can make up some of that difference.
So if the government just said you can get your prescriptions from Canada, what would happen?
Exactly. Right. So the price would have to come down, wouldn't it?
Right.
Yeah. The Canadians would quickly put a stop to that, by the way.
Would they?
Oh, yeah, they would. Oh, yeah. If there was, I mean, it's happening now, but it's on a small scale.
Yeah.
But if we just said, go ahead, get your pharmaceuticals from Canada.
But the bottom line, it's the intervention of the government, either positive or negative, that's setting the price as opposed to the market. In other words, the market is disengaged.
Right.
There's no market in pharmaceuticals right now. It's all about government regulation. The government's involved.
So until such times as there's legislation that recognizes market solutions, not giving one or two healthcare companies or not going and negotiating with a pharmaceutical, just allow the market to come up with the solutions.
Back to my founding, my principle about this that I always say is there's a reason cell phones are universal and healthcare isn't. You get a bunch of cell phone companies who are trying to give you $1 more service, $1 less in cost.
Right.
Because they're looking for a market share.
Right.
If you create a market where people are fighting for market share, innovation goes up, prices go down, this is how the market works.
And that's what we need, and I don't see that in this American Healthcare Act. And I don't know that even if this thing gets passed, that Paul Ryan's plan for phase two and phase three is what they're calling it. Have a chance to become reality.
Right.
And so this thing is messed up.
It really
is. This thing is messed up, and I'm not sure how they're going to.
But once the government taints the market,
and
really hard to extract itself.
And here's my first complaint of the Trump administration.
First?
First of the day.
Okay.
So he ran on his business experience, his ability to be a leader, his ability to get things done. I don't see this as the Trump plan. He's not taking credit for it. He's not saying, hey, this is what we have to do. He's not going in and selling it. There's a bunch of conservatives, a bunch of Republicans out there that are saying, this is not it. They agree with me that this is not the solution. We need to do something else. We need to do better. And he's not going to them and saying, hey, look, look how this is going to work. Here's how we're going to achieve your goal.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a salesman, does. That's what a leader does. That's what a CEO goes in and says, hey, yeah, I understand what you're saying. And I appreciate it,
right.
and you're absolutely right, and here's how we're going to get there, and getting them on board, right? I don't see him doing that. Instead, sending Mike Pence to Kentucky to threaten the senator there, Rand Paul, with his political future. Seriously, that was the reason for that visit.
Right, because that's got to be the sales pitch, though.
Okay, I'm done. I just wanted to get that out. Took too long. I'm sorry.
No, you're talking policy, and that's fine, but the ultimate sales pitch has to be Trump has to convince them that their political future is better off with Plan A as opposed to their plan. And that's the tough sell right now. The GOP is collapsing under this because they believe if they make radical changes to this, they will be primaried, they'll be run against, and they'll lose their seat, their political future.
So that's what we were told. We were told this guy has courage.
Well, he could.
That's what we were told.
He could do what the previous president did and just do it all by executive order.
Yeah.
I didn't even know why he's going through Congress. The former president didn't. He changed it. He moved the mandates. He delayed the... implementation.
They had the authority to do that. That's what they're saying. They're saying that the new Secretary of HHS would have the ability once this is passed to start to implement some of the other aspects and some of the other things that need to be done. And I guess that's phase two.
Unfortunately,
I think that's what they're calling phase two.
Unfortunately for me, I'm a constitutionalist, so I want Congress to have some power. Except the Congress is turning out to be a bunch of chickens.
So just my opinion. I could be all wrong.
Yeah.
I could be totally wrong, Lou. All right, but This is something that is going to be. It's going to be a top news story for a while now. And how it affects you individually, if you're not in the individual market, probably not too much to worry about. It's not really going to affect the group insurance market too much, except that prices will continue to go up, and your employer will continue to worry about that and wonder if they should be keeping you on as an employee or ratcheting up your portion of the premium or maybe cutting back benefits. If you're employed and you have your insurance with your employer, you probably don't have too much to worry about.
What did I tell you before the election? Your choice was between Hillary Clinton with political support and Trump without political support. And we're going to at least park the country for 4 years.
Election's over. This is what we're dealing with now.
I know. I'm dealing exactly with what I told you we're dealing
with.
This
is so much better than what it would have been had Hillary.
Yes.
So just sit back, shut up, don't complain.
No, not at all. I'm not saying that at all.
Okay.
I'm just saying you're talking about it as a bug that Trump doesn't have political support on the right as well as on the left, and I'm telling you, A, it's a feature, and B, I predicted it. This is exactly what's going to happen.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So everybody just calm down. Stop burning buildings.
I'll say it again. This is not coming from the White House. This particular program is coming from he handed the ball off to Ryan to come up with something. That's what happened. He said, "Here, you do it."
Yeah.
If he had a solution, he just said, "Hey, this is what we're going to do, and here's how I want you to get it done." Right?
Yeah. Let's see what the reaction is.
It's no Bill Belichick. Let's put it that
He's
way.
He's no Bill Belichick.
He's no,
no
Bill
there
Belichick.
Is no. There are no other Bill Belichicks.
Hey, we should probably. Look at the time flies, huh?
We're not taking a break. We're not going.
Okay. All right, so a couple other things that we need to talk about.
Yeah.
We said we're going to keep track of the Trump rally, so I will.
Okay.
As of close Friday, since the election, Dow's up 14%, so we had a little decrease last week.
Right.
S&P 500 is up a little less than 11%, and the NASDAQ is up almost 9%. And you know what I saw today that I just... caught my eye because I don't look at it on a daily basis anyway, and that's the index, the Russell 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So the Russell 2000 is a smaller slice of the market that that index contains smaller companies.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
So it's when it's being quoted and when investors and economists look at that, they always talk about the small business.
Okay.
We're talking about publicly traded stocks here. So these are not mom and pops. Just so you know, this is not the guy, the construction company down the street. We're talking about
just smaller than IBM.
A $4 billion or $5 billion company.
Yeah.
Right. Smaller. Yeah. Much smaller than IBM. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Or
DuPont.
Apple.
Apple.
So it was down. It was down 2% last week. 2%. Now it has led the markets higher since the election by a big number.
So that's been healthy in the Trump rally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, do we have it here?
So we get to my favorite question: what happened? What happened last week that turned it down?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Is it that perhaps that loss of patience you keep talking about, or lack of less faith that what was promised is going to be delivered?
So the answer for the reasons for the rise in the Russell and why smaller companies would be attractive is the deregulation.
Right.
Because smaller companies
big
have
companies
a more difficult
love regulation because it thins the herd.
Because it actually creates a barrier for entry for smaller companies,
right?
And so if you get rid of some of those barriers, then smaller companies can thrive and can grow faster,
right?
And so I think that was the reason why that's why they became attractive and why they, and so the fact that reversed last week, I'm not sure. Is that because people are starting to, as I suggested, if this agenda that Trump has in mind doesn't become reality, then that could have a negative effect on the markets, right? And by the way, Paul Ryan is telling us, and I don't know why, but they're telling us that if they don't get, they have to get this healthcare thing done.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't, they can't deal with tax reform. Did you hear that? That's what they're saying. They're saying that, one has to be done before the other, and it may have something to do with the you know, rules, legislative
right.
rules, but that's what they're saying. So perhaps.
Well, they can't. Because taxes are involved in the Obamacare
plan. I have no idea why. I'm just telling you that is what I'm hearing, that one has to get done before the other. And the key here, I think, for the markets is tax reform.
Right.
So if, in fact, they can't get this health care thing done, then tax reform is pushed out at the very least.
Well, that Obamacare has a package of taxes attached to it that help fund the program.
And maybe that's it.
So
yeah, perhaps that's it.
Yeah. It's hard to do tax reform when you don't have the health care tax section of it. There were several tax increases that came with Obamacare, right?
Right.
And Medicaid tax. And
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they have to come up with it. They have to know what they're doing with health care before they can do
the
reform.
And by the way, that would be a good thing if they were to roll back some of these taxes as part of mm-hmm. you know, a fix
yeah.
for the Affordable Care Act. But the fundamental problems still exist.
Sure. Yeah.
But anyway. So I thought that was interesting or important to note.
Right.
And
the deregulation pace slowed last week, too. I don't even remember hearing much at all about deregulation. For a while there, they were peeling stuff back all the time. I think the focus of the administration changes sometimes.
In what way?
In other words, they came out of the gate repealing regulation. Right?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
They were hot and heavy on repealing regulation.
Right.
And last week, they, you know, whatever the...
Not repealing legislation, but executive orders repealing or rescinding certain executive orders or reversing certain executive
right.
orders, right? Yeah.
Right. So at one point, A, you either run out of those, or B, you're dealing with the Russians won the election issue, and you don't have time to repeal all the executive orders.
Right.
Yeah. Or the self-induced stuff that you talked about last week. Self-inflicted wounds.
Right.
Yeah.
So the other important thing I thought is that Wednesday, March 15th, we, according to the Treasury Secretary, on March 15th, we reached the debt limit.
Oh.
National debt limit.
Oh. That's not good.
And I have a feeling that it was because it was a temporary increase. I'm not sure of this. But when you look at the official numbers and you look at the debt limit as it was established, seems like we wouldn't get there by March 15th. But so I think what happens is that March 15th, that temporary increase expires.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that, the Treasury Secretary says they have to use extraordinary measures in order to make good on our AAA rating, credit rating.
So the Trump administration will be looking at its first debt level increase.
And the Treasury Secretary,
Bloody Blue Murder, about raising the debt limit.
In a letter to Congress, has already said that he will take these extraordinary measures, but that they need to raise the debt limit. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't heard too much about that.
No.
That is right. March 15th.
No, because the Republicans are going to have to own the debt limit.
Correct.
Raise.
Right.
But you'd think the Democrats would be screaming at this point about that.
You would think so.
Yeah. Maybe they don't want to own fighting a debt limit raise either.
Right.
Are they finally looking forward a little bit?
Who's that, the Democrats?
Yeah.
Looking forward how? Looking forward to...
At one point, they're going to have a president in there, and they're going to have to raise the debt limit and...
So they're thinking, why should we...
They don't seem particularly adverse to be hung with their own words.
Right, exactly. So I don't think
so I'm wondering if they're growing a conscience.
So the answer to that is probably no.
Okay.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. Like, you have to pass the bill before we can find out what's in it, and now we have to read the bill before we can pass it. It's like, they don't...
No shame.
Reconciliation
no
is not...
No shame.
Is not... No, no shame whatsoever. You're exactly right.
So... And the other thing that's happening this week is the Federal Reserve
mm-hmm.
is going to be meeting to talk about monetary policy and have some votes and make some decisions on short-term interest rates and other things.
Yep.
And so it is pretty much a certainty now that according to the latest polls.
In this month's meeting?
This month's meeting, they're going to have the first increase of 2017. Probably another quarter point.
And what do you think is going to happen there?
It's looking more and more like they're going to, yeah.
Yeah, but we survived the last one, though, didn't we?
Yeah, generally speaking.
For all the hemming and hawing, we're still here after the.
Yeah, in fact, there was a big spike afterwards. There was a big spike in the yield in the 10-year, and that has moderated somewhat. Has come back down a little bit.
Yeah.
I guess that's important because if and I want my listeners to understand how important this is or why this is important, that number rate that they set does have an impact on things like your credit card interest rate and your equity line interest rate.
If you're an adjustable.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you're dealing with adjustable loans, that short-term interest rate that they set can have an immediate impact on the amount of interest that you're paying on a monthly basis.
Right.
So you want to be aware of that. And to the extent that you're overextended in that, you've got a lot of short-term debt, you might want to be thinking about how you can somehow stabilize that, refinance, perhaps pay it down, whatever you can do to limit your exposure.
Will credit card interest rates go up as quickly as adjustable rates on...
You'll see it almost immediately.
Yeah.
It'll be probably reflected on your next credit card bill.
And it doesn't look like, it looks like this may not be the last increase, and certainly not the last increase in the short-term future.
Right, exactly.
So if you're in a revolving credit situation or an adjustable rate situation, you might want to look at
that. The reason why the expectation is they're going to raise because everything is lining up. Unemployment, the GDP numbers, they're concerned about inflation now, and so they want to normalize. We're still way below the normal range for these interest rates,
right.
And so they don't want to get caught behind the curve, and so they're going to probably make a decision to increase that rate. We'll know by the middle of this week what their decision is. But the other thing I wanted to mention, and I think that this is worth pointing out, although the Federal Reserve is thinking that things are getting better, I saw, you probably noticed it, the price that you pay for gasoline.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that it's going down?
Yeah. Going down? Yeah. I don't know. It's been hanging right around. It depends on where you buy, but what are you seeing?
No, I've noticed it going. Well, I can pay $2.02 a gallon where I am.
Where?
You just got to drive to Derry.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So,
$2.26 is about. The
I didn't bring it up because of the published prices in Derry, but I heard a report this morning that the stockpiles, the inventories for gasoline, have grown so much that it's having an effect on the wholesale price. So you will see. If you haven't seen that price go down, you probably will see that price go down.
It's good news. I like that news. Nothing wrong with that.
Well, what is that telling us? Getting back to the supply-demand equation.
Well, I mean, in terms of gasoline, there's more supply than demand.
Right. Is that because of a bigger supply or a lower demand?
Yeah, less demand.
Well, why would there be less demand?
Because business is plateaued.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah.
But I'm just bringing this up and pointing it out because...
you would think if the economy was booming, demand would not be down.
I would have been concerned about the price of gasoline, and I've been watching it, thinking that it's going to start going up because the economy is booming or growing at a much faster pace. But I'm not so sure, based on just that one data point. I'm not saying that we can use it as an indicator as to how the economy is doing necessarily, but I wonder why those inventories have grown.
Would the price of gasoline be a leading or trailing indicator?
I would say that's coincident.
Coincident, okay. It would react pretty quickly.
I think it does.
Yeah.
I think it would be a coincident indicator. But probably give us a good idea of what direction we're going in.
Right.
perhaps. I don't know. Well, we do know that there's more supply than there is demand. Is that because demand has fallen or because supply has grown? And what I heard this morning is, oh, it's all about supply.
And
this makes no sense to me. Here's what they said. I don't know how much time we get, if I can explain this in
about
30
a minute,
seconds.
Minute,
okay,
half.
Fine. So this is what they said. They said that the number of rig count has been going up. The amount of oil being produced has grown. Makes a lot of sense. And then that means somehow refiners are refining more gasoline. What I know about the refinery industry is that we don't have enough refineries. There is not a lot of excess capacity to be filling up tanks with refined gasoline. So I'm not so sure.
So we were
that
at
that
capacity
explanation,
before?
I know there isn't a lot of excess capacity.
Yeah.
In the refinery business.
Right.
So I'm not so sure how they got it so wrong that they would have excess. Excess inventory of gasoline. So
well, Occam's razor would say they just missed their estimate.
Quite possibly.
It's the simplest explanation, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Or they, well, how, why? Why did they miss their estimate? Is it because?
Don't know.
Yeah. Well, sounds like
maybe they had a week like I had last week.
Sounds like we're done.
Yeah.
That was great. Good discussion.
Yes.
I had a bunch of stuff I wanted to get to that we didn't get to because we talked about healthcare too. I mean, it seems like that happens every week. We talk about this healthcare thing just too much, but I wanted to bring that up.
Next Monday at 10.
Next Monday at 10 o'clock, we'll be back here on Talk Money. In the meantime, can I mention my telephone number at the office? 978-691-5005. If you want to get in touch with me after the show, jeff@talkmoneyradio.com. We'll see you next Monday. In the meantime, remember, good sound advice is much better than advice that just sounds good.
The opinions expressed on this program were those of the host and their guest and are not necessarily those of WCCM or its sponsors.
WCCM Salem. News at the top and bottom of every hour, 11:10 a.m. at 102.9 FM HD2. Eagle News Radio.
Fox News Radio. I'm Dave Anthony. He has called Obamacare a disaster a lot. And President Trump has tweeted it's imploding and 2017 will be the worst year yet by far. And this hour,
the president will be holding another listening session on health care reform, speaking with what the White House describes as a group of, quote, victims of Obamacare.
Fox's John Roberts at the White House, where they await a Congressional Budget Office report today on the cost of the House Republican health care bill.
A CBO scoring, as it's called, is going to be an important part of this debate. If these numbers come out favorably, that will go a long way to making the case that the president and Republicans are putting forward to the American people that we need to repeal and replace Obamacare. But if the numbers come out badly, that is going to give the Democrats a lot of ammunition.
The Democrats say the GOP plan will raise costs and people will lose insurance. President Trump will host the German chancellor for talks tomorrow at the White House. Later in the week, he'll meet with the Saudi prince, and next month a tentative date has been set for a meeting with the Chinese president. Is there a Nazi war criminal hiding out in the U.S.? Poland says yes, and Fox's Jeff Manasso is on the case live.
Dave, prosecutors in Poland say they've confirmed that a Minnesota man, a 98-year-old Michael Karkots, was a Nazi unit commander in the SS-led Ukrainian Self-Defense Legion, which is accused of burning villages and killing scores of civilians in Poland during World War II. Prosecutors base their claim on evidence they've gathered in years of investigating. They're asking for an arrest warrant to be issued. Karkots' family denies that he was involved in any war crimes. Dave.
Jeff, they're doing storm prep from Virginia to Maine. Some places could get up to 2 feet of snow tomorrow. It'll be a blizzard along the coast from New Jersey to Connecticut.
It would be extremely dangerous for people to be out on the roadways tomorrow morning.
Suffolk County, New York Executive Steve Ballone. Airlines have already canceled well over 1,000 flights to and from the Northeast tomorrow. Hundreds have been grounded today to and from Chicago as snow falls there first. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
The tech show's on this month. You know, I was thinking of looking at home.
The civil authorities have issued a required weekly test for all of Connecticut, all of District of Columbia, all of Delaware, all of Florida, all of Georgia, all of Indiana, all of Kentucky, all of Massachusetts, all of Maryland, all of Maine, all of Michigan, all of North Carolina, all of New Hampshire, all of New Jersey, all of New York, all of Ohio, all of Pennsylvania, all of Rhode Island, all of South Carolina, all of Virginia, all of Vermont, and all of West Virginia beginning at 11:01 a.m. and ending at 12:01 p.m. Test message pause open cap EAS feed configuration test message.
Trending at 11:03 on the net, anytalks.net. I'm David Martinez. Investigators have ruled the fire that caused millions of dollars in damage to Cedardale Health Fitness Club in Haverhill was accidental. Said the fire started in a woman's locker room. In addition, authorities determined the fire caused between $2 and $5 million in damage. In a statement released, State Fire Marshal Peter Ostrowski, Haverhill Fire Chief William Liberty, and Haverhill Police Chief Alan DeNaro said nothing was found to indicate that the fire was intentionally set. Inside the locker room, authorities found several possible ignition sources for the fire, such as electrical wiring, small appliances, and light fixtures. The statement said there was not sufficient evidence to point to one over the other as the most likely cause for the fire. Fire was investigated by the Haverhill fire officials, state and local police, assigned to the fire marshal's office. Club does remain closed to its members. That's what's trending on 102.9 HD2. We're the net, anytalks.net.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. Please join the staff, some wonderful sponsors, and me, your host, Tom Garvey, as we usher in our tribute to the music and folklore of what is best in the Irish character. On 11:10 WCCM, 12 noon, St. Patrick's Day, we will bring you to the land of Sweet Innisfail. Again, March 17, 12 noon, St. Patrick's Day. On 11:10 WCCM, Dáil Fáilte Romhaibh. You are all welcome.
Let's see all the Irish tonight.
I heard on the news about that five-year-old who found his uncle's gun. The kid didn't know it was loaded.
I heard on the news about that 14-year-old girl who was bullied online. For like a year, she couldn't take it anymore, so she got her dad's gun from his nightstand.
I heard on the news about that guy who broke into someone's house, stole a gun from the hall closet.
He accidentally shot his cousin in the head.
She killed herself.
And later, killed the owner of the store he was trying to rob.
If you own a gun, you have a full-time responsibility. When you aren't using it, be sure it can't get into the hands of curious children, troubled teenagers, a thief, or anyone else who might misuse it. Your family, friends, and neighbors are all counting on you. Remember, always lock it up. For more information on firearm storage safety, visit ncpc.org. This message brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and the Ad Council.
Celebrate this St. Patrick's Day at Man Orchards in Methuen. Our traditional country lunch will be served Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Man's will also have delicious take-home corned beef and cabbage dinners, fresh-made Irish soda bread, hot cross buns, seasonal beers, and much more. Perfect for any St. Patty's Day festivity. For Man Orchards, I'm Bill Fitzgerald.
Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008. She really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath. He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties. He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. How do you not love him?
Hamilton the Pug, Instagram star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
The following is a paid program. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the host and the guests and are not necessarily those of WCCM or its sponsors.
Come with us on a journey into the unknown, the unexplained, and the unbelievable. We will test your senses and challenge your beliefs. A world where science and religion clash. Or do they? You will meet real people and hear real stories, but you will not believe. You will witness strange sights and hear strange sounds, but you will not believe. This is the New England Ghost Project. Welcome to the nightmare.
Good morning, everyone. It's another edition of Ghost Chronicles, morning edition, right here on, I don't know what we are now, Eagle,
it's the
WCM,
net.
The Net.
The Net. AnyTalks.net.
We're on
it's right in front of you there. It's right on the tape. AnyTalks.net, 102.9 FM HD2, and
whatever.
Yeah. And by the way, our Facebook page, The Net New England Talks. Search for that.
Yeah, search for it and like it.
And
why?
Like it. Yes.
Because I asked you to. That's why. Don't make me speak harshly. Anyways, are we still on AM or is that gone?
For now, we're on AM. We're
on
AM 1110. We're also on 98.9 FM.
That's
I'm
right.
I'm not supposed to say that, but we are.
Yeah, we're on the FM. We're on the AM. We're on the TuneIn. We're on the Facebook. We're on the whatever the hell else we're on. I think we're in the Astronet, if you ask me.
The Astronet? What's the Astronet?
Astronet. I'm actually the other two shows are on Astronet Radio, believe it or not. There is an Astronet, so.
Really?
Yeah. The Astronet is like, you know, the web for spooks.
Spooks?
Oh, spirits. Oh, really? With me, that's the voice of Roxy Zwicker, and she's here with us today, along with her charming and debonair husband, Ken.
Debonair? Where's he?
Yeah, and, of course, the Professor Lou, so there you go. We're all introduced, so if you
making
don't
know. It happen.
And Roxy brought little things of round food that you eat, and it's got sugar on it.
They're called munchkins.
To pollute our bodies with all this sugar.
Well, you don't have to have
absolutely
one.
Absolutely horrid for us.
Did I put one in your hand?
No.
Okay.
I'm waiting for it, though.
So I brought them for Lou.
Oh, really?
Wow. For Lou. Now I'm really annoyed. It was my birthday yesterday. You didn't bring me a freaking
I know.
Lunch.
Happy birthday.
Birthday. Of course I
jeez.
Did.
Bam.
Bad
put
girl.
A little birthday candle on one of the
there
munchkins.
There you go.
Yep. 21 again?
112.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Anyway, so you've been on jury duty, right?
I have been.
Right. So
yeah.
Is it like,
loves
it is
so
like an old courthouse?
It is, actually.
Has it got like ghosts wandering the corridors and stuff?
I'm pretty sure that it does, and just around the corner is like one of the oldest courthouses in Maine, which it used to be in. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
The original courthouse that was on site burned to the ground in 1930. So this is an exact replica of the one that stood there. And we're down
exact
in the basement. It is. They built.
Do you love that little exact replica?
Exact replica.
Exact replica of the courthouse.
It's a genuine replica.
What would you call it?
Yeah, I like genuine replica. That's a good one.
Genuine replica.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so we spend all of our time down in the basement.
Right.
And it's just as ancient.
It's very ancient.
In the basement.
In the basement. Because we have to be sequestered.
They stick them in the basement?
Yeah, we're in the basement.
That's gross.
It is gross. We're down with all the pipes and stuff, so
and
it definitely feels
things?
Creepy. Yeah, and the rats. That's right.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
In Massachusetts, we're a little bit more civilized than that. We actually put our jurors in real rooms on the higher floors. And, you know. And no verdict has ever come in before lunch.
No, not usually.
It's funny. That's what, you know, they'll sometimes the bailiff will come in and say, how are you guys doing? You got your verdict? And I've been on a case where they said, yeah, we're pretty much. He says, you sure you might not want to take a little bit more time while I order lunch? You're right. We better rethink this.
Well, if the state's paying, I say go for it.
Yeah. But do you get paid for that?
I get $15 in mileage, so it's 45 miles from my house, so I get, it's like 40 cents a mile.
In Massachusetts, they don't pay you, I think, is it the first day, or maybe 2 days, and then you get, last one I sat on, which wasn't too, I think it was only 3 years ago, it was $50 a day, so.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad, so.
Now, was it far for you to drive? Because mine's pretty far. Oh, Lowell, okay.
Yeah, if you don't like where you're going, you can actually change it.
That's not what they told us.
You know, so originally they put me in Salem. I said, hell no, I'm going to, I want Lowell. And, I said, okay, fine.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It was really cool. It was after the trial was all over and we put the bad guys in jail. The judge came in the jury room and thanked us all for our work, not during the trial. She came in afterwards and kind of like thanked us all and gave us a nice little.
That was very nice.
Yeah. And then, not only that, afterwards, she sent us a letter.
Really?
Thanking us once again for our service.
Wow.
Oh, very
so,
cool.
That's cool. A lot of people don't like to do jury duty, but you ever been on jury duty there, Lou? I know.
Yes,
you,
I have.
You're working. I understand. That's yeah. right.
We're up. We're up on Ghost Chronicles on the Facebook page. It's not perfect, but we're there.
That's all right.
Yeah. Yes, I have done jury duty.
Yeah.
And I only got, I've done it several times, actually, and I've only got to an actual jury box once, and I went to Lawrence District Court.
Ooh.
And both people in the civil case and both lawyers were clients of the radio group here.
Oh, geez.
I raised my hand.
So, hey, I know these guys.
Yep, I know these guys.
So
I do business
gone.
With them.
You were
yep,
gone.
I was gone. Do you think it will impair your ability to impart impartial judgment?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. They owe me money. All right, you're gone.
It's killed me that I've never been excused, which is pretty weird.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, must have an honest face.
I don't know what it is. I've been jury foreman three times, right? And I'm like my specialty is rape cases. I've like
really?
every case but one has been not a rape case.
Huh.
So I don't know why that where or why the world gives me this crap, but yeah.
You have so. The venue shop.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. No, you get a you if you get for example if you get Newburyport District Court,
mm-hmm.
change the venue.
Really?
Yeah, because they do multiple day trials quite often.
Yeah,
they're in the bigger trials.
See,
you don't want to get involved in anything
I
like that.
I don't mind now that I'm you know
yeah
kind of retired sort of maybe.
Yeah.
But even when I was working, I didn't mind anyways.
At this point, I wouldn't mind either.
No, it's I think it's you know it's a what's the word a rewarding thing to do.
Yeah.
And, you know it's very. Rewarding, and I mean, it's not easy to make decisions, but still, I mean,
Roxy,
someone has to.
Weren't you on grand jury duty?
I am on grand jury duty.
Yeah, that's a pain.
It is a pain.
Yeah.
Why? What's the difference?
We did 110 cases last week.
Oh!
Yeah, so they just pile them on.
Yeah.
Well, the grand jury, you just decide if it's going to court or not.
Right.
Yeah,
so
if you're going to
indict. How long is each one of the little grand jury cases?
Well, you just hear the prosecution side, right?
You hear prosecution and the main witness, which is usually the police department.
Yeah, and they paint the picture to try to get the trial to go forward. So you,
so you,
right.
then
so you,
you
get
just
all
say
the facts.
Yay and nay? Do you
yeah.
go get sequestered or whatever? You go meet and stuff?
Yeah, we are sequestered, and then they'll leave us to deliberate.
Okay. Interesting. Never did grand jury, so.
No.
But
I've never been picked, though.
Really?
I mean, I've gone to jury duty in Salem, Newburyport, and Lowell. I've gone up, yeah, over the years.
Did you get picked in Newburyport?
I didn't get picked.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
What's wrong with your past?
Yeah.
You have a criminal record? What are you trying to tell them?
I look too shady, I guess.
I guess
know.
So. Jeez.
What's going on, you hippie?
If they take me, they take anyone, but you think.
Yeah, you'd be the first guy I'd veto.
Yeah.
I don't like
looking
at that one.
You know, and it's not like I hide what I do either about being paranormal stuff and everything mm-hmm. else. Well, no problem. Okay. Fine.
Well, actually, they probably like that.
Great.
Are you
especially
serious?
The defense attorney. They probably like that.
Yeah, because when we convict them and they go appeal it, they say, this juror here, he was he's a kook.
If this guy believes in ghosts, I can get him to believe
ghost,
my
yeah.
guy's innocent.
Yeah, yeah. He said he saw his murder victim during the trial.
Yeah, he was taking spectral evidence.
Yeah, there you go. So, whatever. Anyways, I don't know how the heck we get it. Sam
Bulstritis?
Yeah, whatever his name is. No, it's actually...
No.
Crap. No, not
No, I don't think that's it.
No,
That didn't sound good.
Whatever.
Sam B.
Yeah. It's Bulstritis.
Oh, my God.
Whatever. So close. Maybe you're right. I don't know. But he was supposed to call in. Evidently, he's going to not call in, so... Good for him.
Busy guy, apparently.
Wow. Yeah. So, last time I had him on my show.
Jeez.
He did the USS Salem with us, which was really great. He actually, that was a lot of fun. And that was a video production. He's been on the TV show before, too, which is pretty cool. And the radio show before. So, I don't know. Maybe he's getting old. He just couldn't remember.
Maybe his daylight savings time messed him up.
Oh, that could be it.
Yeah, maybe he's still sleeping.
I mean, imagine that messes the ghosts up as well. Do you think it messes the ghosts up, Roxy?
No, it doesn't mess a ghost up. They don't know what time it is. They don't care.
Wait, no, everybody says that, but what do you have anniversary hauntings? You can't have both ways.
What's that got to do with anniversary? That's a date. It's not time.
What, days on time? Maybe I'm missing something here. Or...
Do they show up at, you know, precisely 5 o'clock?
Yeah.
Okay.
There are
no ghost stories about particular... particular times of particular events?
There are. How many times have you heard where a story, the ghost shows up at midnight on the stairs or something every Thursday or whatever?
Charlie's still on the MTA. Right?
Yeah, poor Charlie.
Yeah. Poor Charlie.
Beneath the streets of Boston.
What is that?
Listen to that.
Oh, my God. Isn't that copywritten?
The truth is out there.
The truth is in Ron's pocket.
I like that. Who's calling it?
Massachusetts.
Call from the dead?
Probably.
It's probably him.
I paid $2 for that ringtone. Which
calling
is,
on a cell phone?
If you know me, I don't spend any money. Unless, I mean, that is a flip phone, right?
It is.
Yes.
Okay. No. But you know what? This flip phone,
oh God.
Although it's a
ancient
pay-per-view,
state of the art.
It has night shot on its phone.
Ooh.
It has internet access. It has GPS. It has all that crap. It's
a phone with internet access. What will they think of next?
Wow. A flip phone we're talking about here. I just love the flip phone because you feel like Captain Kirk from Star Trek. Just flip it open and beam me up, Scotty. Anyway.
Wow, it's the little things, isn't it?
So makes it all worthwhile.
6878005. That's interesting. Maybe that was Sam trying to call me.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
That's a shame.
Sam, if that's
maybe
you,
he's looking for your phone number.
877-687-8005.
Yeah, Sam, if you're listening. 978-687-8005.
Can we post that on our Facebook page if you want to call us?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Just one more thing for you.
Lou just loves it when I give him work. How much you get paid for this, Lou? I'm sorry. How much do I pay you?
Nothing.
There you go. So that's why I never complain, because I get what I pay for. But anyway.
You're getting... I'm actually doing the show and your Facebook Live thing at the same time. And
you're amazing, Lou.
Yeah,
I love you.
And trying to recover your commercials.
I love you, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like Elvin. What is it? I love you, brother. Told you we couldn't do it. I mean, we couldn't do it. Greatest comeback of all time. Anyway. All right, so let's talk about something that really matters. So, am I going to get any of those freaking monks and ganache?
Yes, I have them open.
So I need you to talk while I eat this. She has them open, but she's across the table. It's like I have to go through four mics.
It's because I don't want you to knock them on the floor. Take the one with all the sprinkles on it. It looks like a birthday one.
I'm giving you free reign. You and Ken talk, because I'm going to
fill your face with munchkins.
I'm going to eat my munchkins. Actually, I'm going to take the powdered one. Yes.
Powered up munchkin.
So where's the camera? Here you go. There it is.
Power of sugar.
The power of munchkin.
Okay.
Yeah, you're a little blurred. But
here we have it.
Oh, blurred. Good.
Yeah.
Right. So carry on while
I'm here chewing.
Carry on while I'm
about to begin now.
So speaking of about to begin, our tour season for New England Curiosities is about to begin. At some point coming up this April, we're going to fire up the trolley again, and then our walking tours should begin in May. And you can find us at newenglandcuriosities.com, and that's going to be really super exciting. And let's see, we have Fly By Night that's coming up, and we're doing stories of unusual accidents in their ghosts.
What?
Unusual accidents in their ghosts. Unfortunate accidents.
You're doing this one for Lou, aren't you? About the poor bride who fell off the cart and had her head.
Oh, yeah.
Decapitated.
A lot of decapitated women.
I knew she would.
I am. I'm
going to
do that story.
She steals all my ideas.
I did not steal it.
Yeah.
I was inspired. That's what they call it these days.
That's a good idea.
Inspired.
Inspired.
It saves a lot of lawsuits.
You can see I'm done eating now. Some of my mouth is working.
Oh, excellent. Here, have another one.
It's going to be Unlucky in Death.
Yeah, Unlucky in Death.
Was that the name of it?
Yeah, Unlucky in Death.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Then we're going to think of one for April, but we're working on that one right now.
The Headless Horseman?
The Headless Horseman story for Unlucky in Death? That's a pretty good one.
Good.
Hey, what about General, what's his face?
What's his name?
What the heck is his name? Mad Dog, the guy who lost his bones all along the highway.
The guy who lost his bones on the highway? Was it in New England?
No.
Uh-huh.
It was in Ohio.
I don't know that story.
It's January's first story in my book, Ghost of Day.
Okay, so you're going to tell
us, right? Mad Dog, whatever his name is. Yeah, he was a general during the Revolutionary War, and he died, and they buried him in the blockhouse, or at the base of the blockhouse. Years later, his son wanted to reclaim the body and bury him in the family plot. So when they got there and they dug him up, they found out he was still in good shape. So they couldn't move the whole body, so they took him and they cooked him, and the surgeon cut all the flesh and skin off it, and they took all the bones and put them in a trunk, and along the highway, it was a bumpy ride, and the bones fell out of the trunk, and they say that you can see old Mad Dog along the highway looking for his bones.
Mad Dog.
Excuse me, why did they cook him again?
To get the flesh off and everything else. You know, they boiled them, made a nice soup out of them. And
a nice boiled dinner.
Boiled dinner.
New England boiled
dinner.
It's a bad day at work.
For all our Irish fans out there, yeah. You like corned beef? Try old Mad Dog.
Lord.
That's an unusual death. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, that is. I hadn't heard that story. That's awesome.
Well, check out Ghost of Days, the number one story there. The first January 1st story.
Ooh, I love it.
Yeah, it's a good one. Jeff Belanger actually gave me that story when I was talking to him. Yeah, I told him I was writing the book. He said, hey, I got one for January 1st. I said, oh, yeah. Oh, this is a good one. Yeah, it was a Mad Dog.
Nice. Mad Dog, too.
Mad Dog
one
of
the ones.
I love it. A soup. Would it be stew? No, it's got meat in it, so it would be stew.
It would be stew.
Right?
Stew.
Yeah.
Well, you can have stew.
Anyhow, we've already
gone
through that, the whole stew and soup thing.
Really? Which is it?
We did it on the show, didn't we?
Did we?
It was part of a discussion one week. We were trying to figure out what chili was, and we got into a discussion of what stew.
Chili's a country in South America.
No, the food chili.
Oh, excuse me.
Which I don't want to get back into again.
Good thing. I don't want to.
You want to relive a memory?
People are crazy out there. What?
You don't want to relive that memory?
No, I don't.
Don't blame you.
Reopen that.
So if you put corn in it, it becomes... Never mind.
No, is chili a soup or a stew or what is it?
Whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you care?
No, I don't care.
I don't care.
I get sucked into this for a week.
All right. So, evidently, we lost the old Sam, and so I guess we'll have him on. Well, maybe you want. How many shows we got left here? Two this month?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I'm working putting your commercial break back together here.
I'm so proud of you.
I'm working hard behind the scenes.
Stop it. Nobody realized that.
Yeah, nobody realizes
Lou
what
works
goes on
his ass
scenes.
Off and keeps his show running so great for our six listeners. I mean, it's amazing.
It makes us look so good.
Not even management. I get threatening letters from management.
Yeah. But anyway, so there's a lot of St. Patty's Day coming up. So no Irish ghost stories?
Ooh, yeah.
Irish ghost stories. See, I don't categorize them as such, so I really can't.